pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney. They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Danny Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Danny Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Danny, have you ever been at an event that ended up on ESPN's top 10?
I believe I have. I believe there was a Husker catch in the outfield versus Texas one year at Haymarket Park that ended up on there.
Really? That DJ Belfonte sliding catch, number 10 play of the week, not of the day, but of the week, made the SportsCenter top 10, and I actually saw that live and in person, so that was kind of cool. The field, if you did see it, you're going, well, what's that white fence? And so when I was there, I said, huh, are they adding more seating down there? No, it was just too wet along the foul line, so they put the fence out there so that you wouldn't run into the mud. And so that's probably why it made SportsCenter, because it was a great diving catch, but he slid through the non-permanent fence and kind of got dirtied up there. Great play, and you know, for the way the weekend started, you didn't know if Nebraska was going to win after a great pitching performance by Johnny Dorn on Friday, but here the Huskers are, four straight over Riverside and three... Well, two blowouts, and the 5-2 was really a never a doubter in the doubleheader on Saturday. So the Huskers go 4-0, and now get ready for the Mighty Lopers. They put up 25 runs in one game on Saturday.
A great offensive performance by them. But, Doug, to get back to the pitching performance, you know, Thad Weber goes to Stanford, gets absolutely tore up, gets knocked around, to come back home to your home confines and do what he did, and, you know, you can say what you want about UC Riverside. There's a team that still won the Big West. They're still in a conference with Cal State Fullerton, the Dirtbags of Long Beach State. This is a team that plays good, even great baseball day in, day out in that conference. And, you know, to say, well, they're down this year because they lost a lot of people to draft. Well, those teams out there, you know, and we got to talk to Coach Doug Smith last week. Those teams out there, they field the talent of the upper echelon of baseball talent. Those kids play all year round. It should be very relatively easy for them to step in a role. This is a young Husker team that hasn't proven themselves to step up and sweep four. Now, I expected them to win yesterday just because I don't think the California kids probably liked the weather that they had to play in. But to go out and take the doubleheader the way the Huskers did was very impressive. And, you know, pat Thad Weber on the back if you're down state baseball and you happen to run into the kid. State basketball, excuse me.
You'd like to pat Thad, wouldn't you?
I would. I'd pat Thad. Dan Jennings, Aaron Probonik to come onto stage. Kid that throws 90 to 94, burns them all day yesterday in awful cold weather. Congratulations to the pitching staff. And you can kind of relax when you're getting run support like the Huskers did, like they did all weekend.
Coming up on the program today, we'll talk a lot more about that. We look into bracketology as we get even closer to the NCAA tournament. Creighton actually begins the Mo Valley. 111-110, double overtime. Now a rematch in first round for the Blue Jays, who must win the tournament to get in. We'll be talking with Stu Pospisil from the Omaha World Herald about the boys' state tournament coming up. Ron Powell is going to join us in just a minute to recap the girls. And a Central Nebraska Tri-Cities boys basketball coach has resigned this morning, and we will talk with that coach at the bottom of the hour. But right now, we are pleased to welcome to the program Ron Powell from the Lincoln Journal-Star. We had a chance to talk with him just personally after the state tournament, and wanted to bring him on to kind of recap the state tournament for the ladies. And, Ron, good morning.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you've had a day to kind of soak it in. You put the final rankings out. You've kind of done everything but released the all-state team, which is normal. Anything that really stuck out in your mind from this girls' state basketball tournament, which seemed, as we kind of talked about on Saturday, when it was all said and done, went pretty much to norm. Five of the teams that you thought would win, came through. No major upsets.
No major upsets, but boy, we were pretty close in the first round of Class B with Gretna and South Sioux City. South Sioux City very fortunate to get past that game, and then things fell into place for them, although they had to hold on at the end against an Alliance team that obviously, you know, what that long winning streak was at 47 or 48 games going into the finals. Those kids know how to win, and they're not going to lay down and, you know, just go away quietly.
Ron, talk a little bit about Class A, and especially Southeast, a team that, well, I could tell by the initial deal on Thursday morning when you had the three-headed monster in the 20-by-24 section on the basketball issue. How special is this team this year? Three Division I players, they just simply dominated the field, and when they make shots like that, they're damn near unstoppable.
Well, they're obviously good enough to overcome the Journal Star jinx. Usually when we do that, put them on the cover like that, it's bad news. But, yeah, they were dominant this weekend. You know, you guys asked me for a lock on the tournament, and I didn't quite know who to say, but so I said Southeast, and they ended up making me look good. I mean, they beat everybody by double figures. I thought maybe they might have trouble with post defense, but, you know, they didn't have trouble with post defense because of teams had trouble, you know, operating on the perimeter. They could never even get it into the post. So, you know, they obviously took care of that problem that they had earlier in the season. And let's face it, offensively, they were hitting on all cylinders. You know, they were shooting the three. They were relaxed. And, you know, that was probably the biggest thing. They were relaxed and just played with a flow that I really didn't see from any other team in the tournament this year.
Ron Powell from the Lincoln Journal Star is joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. I guess we could go so many different directions here, but I guess, Ron, I want to ask you, overall, the play and some of the athletes that we have in Daddy touched on Southeast, you mentioned Alliance. Where was this year's field as far as overall play and individual stars compared to maybe what we've seen over the last 5 years?
Well, obviously, you know, the talent level keeps rising. I mean, look at a Jordan Hooper. I mean, who wouldn't want her on their college team? You know, she's 6'3", and, you know, quite honestly, she could guard any post or any guard, for that matter, in the state. Maybe, you know, minus K.K. Hauser. She had a little trouble prior to the quickness of K.K. Hauser, but, you know, I can't really think of anybody else she could not match up against and at least do a credible job on defensively. And, you know, you could project her out as a small forward at the Division I level pretty easily because her shooting range is going to expand, and she has the athleticism to, you know, play out on the floor, drive the basket. So, you know, she was awfully fun to watch. And, you know, obviously, you know, K.K. Hauser, Marissa Kostanek are going to be Division I guards somewhere. You know, Kostanek is already committed to North Carolina State, and, you know, by this time next year we'll know where K.K. is going to be going. You know, and there were players in the smaller classes, too, that, you know, really stood out and, you know, enjoyed watching, you know. Just several. You know, I enjoyed watching Nicole Brungard. You know, I don't know that she's going to play Division I basketball, but, you know, she's a three-sport athlete, and her and her teammates made a great comeback there in the C1 championship game against Newman.
Ron, you talk about the level of talent. You go look at your all-tournament team. K.K. Hauser, junior. Kostanek, junior. Jordan Hooper, sophomore. Sarah Wilson, Perkins County, junior. The talent is all returning.
It is. And then you look at Seward. You know, they didn't get out of the first round, but, you know, they got to have a 6'4 sophomore, Alyssa Camphouse, who's been offered by Creighton. They have a 6'2 freshman, Emily Cady, who, you know, a lot of people kind of make comparisons to Cady Robinette. I don't know if that's fair to Emily. That's quite a comparison, but, you know, I saw a game earlier this year where she had 21 points, and, you know, certainly she's going to be on the radar screen of a lot of Division I coaches. And then, you know, there are some other players in Class A. You know, Sarah Nelson from Omaha Westside, her older sister went to Creighton this year as a freshman. She's going to be on the Division I radar screens, as well as Allison Janicek from Millard West. She showed some very good talent this year. She's a 6-foot sophomore. So, yeah, you're right. There's a lot of good young players out there.
Ron Powell, Lincoln Journal Star, joining us here. Let's get to the actual rankings because some folks really get torn up by this stuff and some other just, you know, kind of wonder what's going on out there. But I thought you made an interesting comment to me, and it concerns these consolation games. You have Kearney 7th in A, which, whatever, it doesn't make any – I think that's fine, whatever. But you made a comment to me that had they won that ball game, they might have been ranked as high as 3rd in the consolation game. How much do these consolation games affect rankings? And, well, what have you been hearing about the consolation games?
Well, for a team like Kearney, it's huge because – this is their opportunity to play the Omaha and Lincoln schools. This was their opportunity to, you know, make a step up. And obviously they played Millard North tough, but not tough enough. So, yes, they would have, this was a huge game for Kearney in terms of final ranking. Because, you know, the Omaha schools all get to play each other during the year, but this was our only comparison with the Metro schools. With them, you know, they were able to get by Omaha Westside in overtime the first round, and then kind of ran out of gas against Millard West in the semifinals. So,
Ron, just
as far
over
as third place games, I think they're here to stay. You know, even though the attendance wasn't great over there, I think they're going to go with them. I think they, you know, the fact that they don't have to pay for the facilities in Lincoln for the most part, they are able to make a little money. I think what you may see an adjustment with the third place games, though, is they may go to three sites with them, three of the LPS gyms, and maybe just play at 11 and 1 o'clock and get them over with that way.
Well, at least they'd be playing a nicer facility, I say.
Well, yeah, you know, I think it's just the fact that I think they want to get those games over. I don't think they want to drag them on all day. And I think a high school gym would probably fit the crowd better than, you know, Pershing Center. You know, it's just probably too big for the crowds that they're going to have for that. So I think it's probably a better fit if they do move those to high school gyms. I don't know how you guys feel about having them, you know, get them over right away or whether they should spread them out through the whole day like they do the finals, but.
Well, I could tell you how I feel, but that'd take a half hour, and I'd be angry when we got done. So,
hey, Ron, I was reading the article today in your synopsis in D2, and I think maybe I missed the last line because you ranked Ewing number 1, Sacred Heart number 2, Pleasanton number 3, Chambers number 4. So I got to rib you about this. Sacred Heart and Pleasanton both beat Chambers and lost to Ewing Estate. Sacred Heart's number 1 ranking coming into state and the fact the Irish were ahead of Pleasanton in the wild card standings provides the tiebreaker. Then that's where it gets cut off because I believe the next line said, and we sell more papers in Falls City.
I don't know that we do. But, you know, it's too bad that Pleasanton and Falls City Sacred Heart couldn't play because obviously that class was extremely competitive. I mean, you take any of those four teams and replay them and who knows who the winner's going to be. That's what was great about Class D2. I think Class D2 lived up to the expectations, you know, and that one's a tough call. You know, yes. I've got to go to some kind of tiebreaker. So,
and we love poker.
Sacred Heart did come into the state tournament ranked number 1 and lost the state champ. So,
oh yeah, but who was doing the rankings? Hey, Ron, we love chatting with you here on the show. Appreciate the time. We'll see you down at Boys State this week. Thanks so much.
That sounds good. Thank you very much.
Take care, Ron Powell, Lincoln Journal Star, does a great job with all the rankings and all the stories that he does. And I have to say this because I don't know that I've ever went through a state tournament run. And you know what? It's fun now. You should never take it for granted. I remember, you know, you started and all the broadcasters and all the kids that are starting out their first, second years getting to cover things. The first time you go through, you go, wow, this is great. And then, wow, this is great. Then all of a sudden you kind of move up and then it becomes work and you've got more teams and you don't get to enjoy it. When you're at a smaller paper, you might only have one or two teams to cover and odds of them getting to the state title. You know, let's face it, if Pleasanton was Sioux County, you know, they'd have one paper there and that's it. Maybe somebody covered them on the radio. But I have never seen a team that just flabbergasted me more than the Pleasanton girls did this week. And I don't even know how to explain it. And I think everybody just had their eyeballs rolling in their heads. Coaches, people that were watching it from the media, players, fans from Pleasanton. How a team could, A, get away with so many mistakes and come within 1 point of the state championship, B, overcome so many mistakes and play so well at times and come up 1 point state of the shy of the state championship. Congratulations to Pleasanton. Ewing's an outstanding team. Chambers, outstanding. Sacred Heart, outstanding. I know we're talking D2 girls basketball, but give Pleasanton credit because Ashley Axman and Laurel Zwiener, and I said it as we signed off late Saturday night, this team lost three seniors, but they've got a core back. If some of these younger kids, and they needed a little more depth, if they can develop depth, I think Ewing, Sacred Heart, I think Ewing Pleasanton could be 1-2 in the preseason because Ewing's got about everybody back. And Laurel Zwiener came into her own at the state tournament. She took the next step. You know what? You kind of wait. Will this athlete take the next step? She took the next step Friday and Saturday at the state tournament. And the sky's the limit for these two kids because they're going to be two of the best D2 players in the state, if not in this entire area in any class.
Now, Douglas, maybe one of the more interesting stories that you never see before also happened in the final game of Pleasanton. Do you want to share that right now, or how do you want to do this? Because I've never even heard of this happening before.
Well, hold on. ESPN Deportes is on right now.
Oh, Lord. Is this a Liverpool game?
But that will be followed
by... Is this Michelle LaFontaine I just want to punch in the face?
This is Everton. Everton defeating Portsmouth to take over sole fourth place.
That's Michelle LaFontaine.
And now, as we describe what's going on TV, they will show DJ Belfonte's catch for the Huskers the other afternoon, sliding through. So that was pretty cool with Belfonte's catch there at Haymarket Park. But anyway, you are referring, and Derek, you were watching a former Tri-City Storm. Again, I think they're going to replay one more time a Sports Center here, but we've known a lot about former Storm player Chris Hansen, and they have done a huge story on him this weekend.
Yeah, and a buddy of mine actually called me last night and said, hey, you got to check out ESPN. They got a story about one of the former Storm players on there, and it was Chris Hansen. Something about, I guess, son of Slapshot is what the story's called on SportsCenter. But he's playing for Notre Dame now, and they show him a couple of clips in there where he's got his Storm gear on and skating for the Storm and stuff. It's pretty cool to see.
We could use him.
Yeah.
We could use him. Of course, his dad, was dad and uncle? Is that the way it worked with the brother Hansen in the movie Slapshot?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure if we miss that, the Kyle and Robbie and the boys at the Storm will shoot us a quick email. I know that. But anyway, yes, the Pleasanton game, final score, 45-44 in the state books, in the annals forever. I don't know if the Pleasanton fans know this, but everybody else knows this. Pleasanton only scored 43 points in the state tournament. And when you make a error as an official book in the state tournament, and it's a one-point final, makes you wonder. The game at halftime was questioned. The official book had the point in there. So I guess you do whatever you want. In fact, it was so quirky, Daddy, that during halftime, they had to add a point to the official score. The score had it at 16. It was 19-17 on the board. It was actually 19-16, what everybody had.
They added it to the Shoemaker girls total.
Yes. So, again, without going back, I mean, this is 99% sure, because I'm sure everybody on Press Row could have been wrong. But I don't think everybody was wrong. So it made it interesting that there was a scoring mistake in a state championship game.
I've never heard of that. And actually, kind of a mini argument breaks out, because Pleasanton's got their book there. The official scorer's got the official book. And then Ewing's got their book. Ewing does not have the point. Pleasanton and the official score did have the point.
Well, somebody did and somebody didn't. I assume it was Pleasanton. I don't know for sure.
Okay.
This was, again, secondhand told to us.
But everybody on Press Row had the same score.
The man that checked it out, Stu Pospisil, will be joining us to talk boys basketball in a little bit. And we also have a Tri-City boys basketball coach that has stepped down. We will talk to him in just a moment. But I think overall that kind of puts a wrap on the girls' basketball season. Congratulations to the ladies that went down, qualified, did very well. Kearney High pointed in the right direction. Some of the folks were asking me after it was all said and done, boy, did you guys see this coming from Kearney? Blah, blah, blah. I said, hey, Kearney fan, remember where you were 5 years ago? Both boys and girls.
Yeah.
This is pretty amazing. It can happen, folks. You can go from 1-21 to the state tournament and to the semifinals and possibly the finals, and you can do that with athletes and hard work, good coaching. So hopefully some of the boys' teams will get that chance this week.
Douglas got a chance to listen to the Sutton championship game. Jamie Van Kirk is special. She is going to be a different player be the next 3 years. Congratulations to the Lady Phillies. The you know, the Spomberg girl, I think they just played. It was just, she competes. And I don't know where she gets that at. But you know what? She's involved in everything, Douglas. And listen to the broadcast. I got a smile on my face all the way back. Because where the ball is, she's around it. Defensively, offensively, she kind of ran the show. If I'm not, I did not see it.
Well, yeah, she's the guard.
She's a competitor. She's a little bulldog out there.
She's a Philly. 1-888-455-ESPN. You can email us anytime, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. Of course, it's not just high school sports. A lot of other things went on over the weekend. We'll touch on those when we come back.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. We thought it might be a good idea to get the boys together to do a little singing. You know, to add a little glitz and glamour to the show.
There's no business like show business like no business I know.
You'll be comforted to know that we've since decided to take her easy in the old glitz and glamour department.
Doctors of Chiropractic are trained physicians in the art and science of spinal manipulation. They use this training to treat a wide variety of conditions, such as neck pain, back pain, headaches, and most sports injuries. For 17 years, Dr. John Klingensmith has provided chiropractic care that focuses on total body wellness. Maybe that's why in a recent Gallup poll survey, 90% of chiropractic patients judge their care as effective. So the next time life bangs you around, see Dr. John Klingensmith at Klingensmith Family Chiropractic. Call for an appointment today, 234-4940.
Ever seen a dented tortoise? Same way the thick tortoise shell protects its occupant, the Armacoatings Spray-On Bed Liner from the Dent Popper protects your pickup bed. Armacoatings is the one that goes on hot, stays on strong, no rust, corrosion, dents, or scratches ever. Guaranteed for as long as you own your truck, and it says so in writing. That means your truck holds its value longer. Are you surprised the Dent Popper now applies Armacoatings? Don't be. The Dent Popper has been on the leading edge of vehicle preservation for years. See the Dent Popper north of Railroad on First, on the bridge, downtown Kearney for a free estimate.
Some say gyro and some say gyro. We think you'll simply say it's the best sandwich in the world. Since 1982, Nick's Gyros have earned this reputation among loyal customers because each sandwich is created with fresh pita bread baked daily, embellished with slow-cooked seasoned beef, crisp lettuce, shredded cheddar cheese, onion, and sour cream. Next time you eat out, why not have the best sandwich in the world at Nick's Gyros, where every Tuesday kids 12 and under eat free. Open daily 11 a.m. to 9 p.m., Friday and Saturday till 10, with convenient parking on the hill at 39th and 2nd Avenue, Kearney.
I'm Doug Duda with Sports Minute on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. The Tri-City Storm will be home this weekend, skating against Green Bay Friday and Saturday at 7:05. The UNK basketball teams are in the RMAC shootout in Pueblo, Colorado. Semifinals Friday have the men playing Colorado Christian at 5, the women taking on Metro State at 7. Wins advance them to Saturday's championship games. The Hastings College women are awaiting the announcement of the NAIA national pairings. They'll begin the tournament in Iowa on March the 12th. The Nebraska men's basketball team will be at Texas Tuesday and host Colorado on Sunday. The Nebraska women will be taking on Iowa State Wednesday at the Devaney Center at 7:05. In wrestling, UNK will be at the Division II National Championships March 14th and 15th. Hastings College is at the NAIA Nationals this weekend. Nebraska is at the Big 12 Championships Saturday in Stillwater, Oklahoma. In baseball, Hastings will host Northern State this weekend. UNK is at Nebraska tomorrow and Regis this weekend. And then Nebraska will be hosting Northern Colorado Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And that's a Sports Minute.
We'll see mainly sunny skies develop across the area today with a high temperature around the lower 40s. North winds will stay from 10 to 15 miles per hour. Some higher gusts possible at times. Tonight we'll see clear skies, a low near 16. Winds shift to the south at 5 to 10. On the way up to 53 for a high Tuesday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 32.
I got to tell you, Daddy, I enjoy four goals in one period. Not when the Storm give them up, but 1-2 over the weekend. Huge win against Omaha, and then dropped a tough one to Lincoln, and then...
Omaha now 36-10, I believe, and the Storm puts their 10th loss in the book. So they had the lead against Lincoln. What a monster weekend. Would have, could have, should have. They're up 2-1, Derek, and then just...
Yeah, they gave up two quick goals in the third period, I think with about 10, between 9, 10 minutes left somewhere in there. But gave up two goals in about, a minute or 90 seconds and kind of fell behind, couldn't, you know, down 3-2, pulled the goalie at the end. They got an empty netter with about 30, 45 seconds left to pretty much seal the deal. But, yeah, they played well both nights. Aaron Rock had 45 saves Saturday night, so that's...
Stoning them!
I apologize, Ernie Els.
You know what? I thought of that this morning. That's all you had to do is rip him apart in the World Golf Championships when he exited in the first round by just an absolute beatdown, comes back and wins the Honda Classic.
Well, I was reminded by it when I received here at the Doug and Daddy Show, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com, an email from Ernie in South Africa that said, bite me. So... Ernie Els celebrating his first win of the PGA Tour in nearly 4 years by one shot over Luke Donald, finished with a 367. Yesterday, what, 7 under total, I think was what it was. No huge 27 under like you see from week to week. Carl Edwards wins the NASCAR event in Las Vegas.
Exciting finish because, well, it comes down to...
It wasn't.
You know, it came down to Jeff Gordon taking out Matt Kenseth and... See, in the last 2 weeks...
All right, that's enough
time. Underground...
We've already devoted too much time to NASCAR. Whoa, shut up.
I've got to give a shout-out.
I'm shutting your mic off. I'll reach right over there and do it.
There's closet NASCAR leagues plopping up all over Central
Nebraska.
You're
in one, because you're a loser.
I'm battling...
You can do whatever you want. That's fine. I'm having fun.
I've entered the underground world. And people that don't know anything about NASCAR actually winning NASCAR events.
By the way, you cannot be involved in NASCAR at any level if you do not own NASCAR anything. And I know you don't own NASCAR anything. And so you're the only person that watches NASCAR that doesn't own NASCAR. That's amazing to me. It's amazing. UNK men, 79-73 over Mesa State. UNK women over Regis, 85-71. They're heading to Pueblo, Colorado to play in the RMAC semifinals Friday. Championships are on Saturday. The men will play first at 5 o'clock Central Time against Colorado Christian. Then the women will follow at 7 against Metro State. The Hastings women lose to Northwestern 76-59 in the semifinals of the GPAC tournament. They now await their tournament bracket in the NAIA in Sioux City, Iowa on March the 12th. That is what's coming up there. Softball, Hastings splits yesterday. UNK goes 3-1 over the weekend. Nebraska softball,
even though
Coach Rhonda Revelle has picked up her 600th career win, they're not very good. They pull off an upset of a top 25 team. They get blasted by Tennessee 9-0. Maybe they are good, but they're not.
Tennessee ran, what, fourth or fifth in the country. So beat by a pretty good team. Everything happened with two outs in that game, kind of a weird deal.
Here's some breaking news. UNK wrestling team wins the RMAC West Region title.
No.
Yeah, seventh year in a row. They've won 8 of the last 9, and 9 wrestlers going to the national championships March 14th and 15th in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Tervell DeLog never repeated as the RMAC Wrestler of the Year. Mark Bauer named Coach of the Year once again. I'm going to have to ask him about that. They were injured and had some problems, but he was named Coach of the Year. I was a little surprised by that, just kind of showing you, well, you win conference, I guess you're the Coach of the Year. And Mark's a great coach. But since, Adams State moved ahead of them this year by beating them in a duel, I kind of thought that's what would happen. UNK track and field teams finished third in the RMAC Indoor Championships that were held in Cushing Coliseum on the UNK campus this weekend. So there you go.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. Doug, you bring up Ernie Els, and interestingly enough, his last win was 4 years ago. Tiger Woods has won 23 times between Ernie Els' two wins. 23 times.
Nighty night, Ernie. Hey, email here, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com wants to know, did they ever get the scoreboard fixed at Pershing during the consolation games? Which just adds to the rat hole mentality that you keep talking about.
H-E double hockey sticks, people, hole. That's what that place is.
It went out during the Minden game. There was a delay of like 20 minutes, and then it never was completely functional, and they were just working on it the rest of the day. I don't know if it ever did become completely functional by the end of the day. I don't know.
You know, if we're going to continue to have the third place games, which nobody that I've heard is really fired up to play in, I've heard several coaches interviewed, read what they've said. Nobody is like, it was awesome, what a great experience for the girls. That's what it should be about, the bonding, is the kids.
The bonding time in the Pershing locker room.
Oh, Lord. The four folding chairs, the one table, and the cement walls. We just came so much closer as a team in the 8 minutes we were in there before the game.
Well, Daddy, this is the time of the year where you start to find some changes among the coaching ranks, and we've been telling you that a Tri-City head boys basketball coach stepped down this morning, and we haven't told you who it is, but he joins us now on the Doug and Daddy Show as we are, you know, it's always a pleasing and a sad time because we don't get to work so close with some of these coaches, but I know that they're wanting to move on with what they want to do. And from Adams Central High School, Jim LeMaster joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. He's been the head coach of the Patriots for the past 10 seasons and been in high school coaching for 25 years. And I guess, as you said to Jim this morning, that's a good spot to kind of step aside. Good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys. Yeah, you know, 25 years has been a long time to be in the business, I guess, and really enjoyed my time doing it and have enjoyed very much my last 10 years here at Adams Central. But it's just kind of time for me, I think, to do something different with my life.
Jim, was there a final straw in this decision, or what led to this decision?
Oh, I don't know if there was any final straw or anything like that. It's something I've thought about over the last couple of years. A little bit of it, it's just the time commitment to the whole coaching profession. You know, I think a lot of people think, well, you have practice for a couple hours every night, and you have a game on Friday and Saturday, and that's all the time you put in. But, you know, it's 70 and 80-hour weeks from mid-November all the way up here until March. And then you've got summertime commitments, too, of leagues and camps and those sorts of things. And, you know, those things just kind of were wearing me down here after a while, and I just decided it was just time to do something different, and I wanted to spend some more time with my family and my kids and so on, and just do some things different than what I've been doing.
But the compensation packages are so tremendous. How will you get by?
Well, yeah, my multi-million-dollar contract, I think, will be honored.
Oh.
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you know, that's something else I think people don't understand either. You hear how much money that college and professional coaches make, but high school coaches don't earn that. And that's kind of a situation I think a lot of people really don't understand. You're going to live off of your teaching salary, and your coaching salary really winds up to less than minimum wages for all the time that you put in. But you do it because you enjoy it. You enjoy being around the boys or girls, whatever, you know, whichever sport you're coaching. You enjoy the camaraderie, the people you're working with, and the people you compete with, too. You know, geez, the coaches in our conference are just outstanding guys. You know, Paul Baronic, Ryan Rathke, Rick Peters, you know, and all the way on down the line. They're great guys, and I'm going to miss some of those kind of relationships.
Jim LeMaster from Adams Central High School announcing today that he was going to step aside as the head boys basketball coach. Jim, I got to ask you the question that's on a lot of people's minds. This season started out so well for you, and then the last month, I guess something just changed. What happened in the last month, and did that play any part in you saying, well, maybe I need to let somebody else take over?
It played no part whatsoever, Doug. I really had my mind made up before Christmas that this was probably going to be my last season. And you know, I've kind of questioned myself, did I do anything that might have led to some of those kinds of situations that led us to kind of stumble down the stretch? And you know, I keep asking some of my friends and so on, and they say, no, we really don't see anything any different than in what you did, and that's really what I hoped. But it had no play in that whatsoever. Now, what happened, I'm still trying to figure out. It was just kind of like a reoccurring nightmare. Early in the year, things really came easy for us. We played with a great deal of intensity. Shots were going down. All those sort of things. And then it just seemed like after Christmas we stumbled a little bit. We lost a little of that momentum. And then coming down the stretch here late January and into February, we just didn't do things as well. Obviously we had a target on our back too, as generally we do, but it just seemed like we didn't do things as well. Some of our kids didn't play maybe quite as well. We had really, and I hate using it as an excuse, but we had a lot of injuries and a lot of illnesses down the stretch here, too. And I know other teams have those, but it was just hard to get that momentum back when we did start getting healthy the last couple of weeks of the season.
Jim, 25 years in high school coaching, what has changed the most in your mind?
What's in 25 years? I think that the expectations and the time that is involved in it. 25 years ago, there was virtually no such thing as summer leagues, summer camps, that kind of stuff. In the summer, kids played baseball. They went swimming, they got summer jobs, those kinds of things. And now, if you're not doing things with your team in the summer, you're falling behind. I would say that's the biggest thing. And then maybe the expectations. It's not just a school activity anymore. For a lot of people, it's really gotten bigger than that. And some of those expectations, I think, too, are kind of unrealistic. Kids have a much better chance of getting an academic scholarship than they're ever going to have as of an athletic scholarship. Fans, parents, kids themselves think that, if I work hard enough, I'm good enough, I'm going to get an athletic scholarship. There's a lot of pretty darn good players that last week they played their last basketball games. They're not going to play in college. Very, very small percentage move on from there. Those kinds of things I think I see probably as much as anything.
Jim LeMaster, basketball coach for the last 10 years at Adams Central. Great job. It's always been a pleasure working with you. And to get away from the actual coaching talk, let's look at the state tournament before we let you get out of here, Jim, because Minot and St. Cecilia, obviously you've played them both, and they're going to have to play again in the first round. Everybody's salivating in C1. A lot of people think, well, it's just going to be Pierce Boys Town and the winner takes state. But what do you think about the C1 field, especially Minot and St. Cecilia?
I think that C1 field is just absolutely loaded. It's so cliche to say it, anybody can win it, but honestly, I think anybody can. There you've got Bennington and Wisner-Pilger also playing with one loss between them. And Bennington put the loss on Wisner-Pilger. That's a pretty solid game there, too. Obviously, this Minden and St. Cecilia game, a rematch here of a district game a couple of weeks ago. Both teams have just had great seasons. We were fortunate to beat Minden down at their place in the holiday tournament, and then St. Cecilia beat us here at Adams Central about 3 weeks ago. But two really, really solid ball teams. St. Cecilia is very athletic, play very stout defense, going to get after you pretty hard that way. Minden can shoot the ball real well, got some good size on the inside. That's just a great matchup. And then, like you say, that Pierce and Boys Town game, and here you got the number one team in the state in Pierce, and the number two team in the, if you want to go rankings rather than wild card points in Boys Town, who's just loaded with athletes. Those are some pretty solid matchups, and it ought to be a good time for C1 basketball.
Jim, you look at C2 with Ravenna. You guys got a chance to see them in this year, obviously. Talk about, compare them to their last two really solid teams that Paul's been able to put on the floor in Lincoln.
Well, in a lot of ways, this team doesn't compare very well to those teams. Those teams were just offensive juggernauts. And you had a player like Drake Baronic, who's, lighting it up at UNK, one of the best players in the nation in Division II. You had Tyler Seaborn, who is playing a lot at Doan, and really doing a great job. There wasn't anybody you could seem like you could stop on those teams. And we had a couple of pretty darn good teams ourselves in those years. And every time we took the court against those guys, you thought, who can we stop? If we focused a lot of attention on Baronic, then Seaborn would light us up, or Kulwicki or some of their other kids. This team really plays well together. Their defense is pretty solid, but they can put some points up too. Greg Nissen is really solid on the inside. And maybe that's a factor that they didn't have quite as much on that other team. But, he's gonna do some good things for them.
Well, Jim, we sure appreciate your insight. It's always been a pleasure chatting with you. And, of course, anytime I need an analyst, I'm going to give you a call.
Well, I'm not going to go away. anytime you guys need anything from me, I'll be around.
Jim, thanks for all the time you put in and for helping advance Adams Central basketball. Thanks for the time.
Well, thanks, guys. I sure appreciate everything you've done.
Take care.
Thanks, guys.
Jim LeMaster has been the head basketball coach at Adams Central for the past 10 years, announcing today that he was going to step aside after 25 years in coaching, and this is the time of the year that you're going to start to hear more of that.
Sure, bittersweet decision. Probably part of him saying, Boy, I'd like to see eight parents in my office right now and give them a piece of my mind like they did to me.
Over the 25
over
years.
Over the 25 years, like 38 parents. But, you know, truly one of the good guys. Doug, anytime we've ever asked Coach LeMaster, he's always been willing and goes out of his way to accommodate us. And one of the good guys in the conference.
Oh, I don't know about. Well, okay, well, outside of that one. But, let's take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Stu Pospisil is going to join us. We'll be right back.
What are you listening to?
The Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
I can't put up with you people because you're bastard people.
These guys really suck.
Awful. So bad.
Anyway, our heroes will be right back.
I think it all goes back to when I was a child.
Well, I think we made a big breakthrough.
What?
I feel like you've grown.
I've been here 20 seconds.
Some people will do anything to get to Wing Tuesdays early at Buffalo Wild Wings.
I paid for an hour session.
Abandonment issues? Let's pick up there next week.
With specially priced wings all day on Tuesdays, it's no wonder we've created a day to celebrate them.
What about the intimacy problems with my wife?
Hugger, what else?
I have some things I need to talk about.
Well, good. Let's delve into that, okay?
Okay. Well, hello?
Don't miss Wing Tuesdays at Buffalo Wild Wings. You have to be here.
Price and participation vary by location. Some restrictions apply.
You know, a wise man once said, success is easy. Do the right thing the right way at the right time. Simple, right? Of course, small business owners will tell you that finding time is what makes it tough. That's why more small business owners turn to Visa Business. It has multiple payment options like credit and debit that are accepted at millions of locations worldwide. And it helps reduce paperwork by tracking your finances. To see more ways Visa can help, go to visa.com/smallbusiness. Business takes Visa.
Do you desire a unique dining experience that's fun, fast, delicious, and healthy for the whole family? Then you must try the Mongolian Grill in the Vista Point Shopping Villa in Kearney. The dining experience is like no other, as you select a mound of fresh vegetables, fresh meats, and steamed noodles, combined with a multitude of tasty sauces to create a limitless variety of heavenly combinations. Then watch your stick-wielding chef expertly stir-fry your selection on a huge flaming grill. Open 7 days a week to serve you. Take 15% off any meal till March 10th.
Integrity, trust, accountability. These values are at the very heart of the choices we make in life. Thrivent Financial for Lutherans understands what our members value most, protecting and providing for their loved ones. Maybe that's why nearly 3 million members turn to Thrivent Financial to help them meet their financial goals.
For your local Thrivent Financial Associate, visit Paul Mueller in Kearney or Deb Christensen in Holdridge, or look them up online at thrivent.com.
Is this a little Pavlovon?
I think so, yeah. This is the Dropkick Murphys, a river dance.
This is some Pavlovon. This is some Irish music?
Yeah.
Well, coincidentally, an email here from Tori in Riverdale says, thanks so much for the Irish music.
Wow.
You're welcome, Tori. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com.
Shout out to our little friend, He-Man Tori. I'm Tough Guy.
I fight Dave next.
I mean up Dave next.
Who you got there? You got another email.
Yeah, we do have an email. Dear Douglas.
NASCAR. Oh, it's to me?
It is directed to you.
Is this
no.
To me? Okay.
So pay attention. NASCAR is up and coming. It's a kick butt sport. I'd a lot rather listen to it than Storm Hockey or NBA. Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. So was.
Now
so,
Derek wants so to was, fight you.
So was, so was MLS, Major League Soccer. Yeah, it was an up and coming sport, too. Yeah. Have another World Cup. Hey, you know, I'd rather watch golf. What do you think about that, Scott? And speaking of golf, some crazies were able to get out Saturday. Absolutely beautiful day across Nebraska. And then yesterday, no, you had to go to the simulator at Prairie Hills Golf. And they remind you the Prairie Hills new member open house is just around the corner. Saturday, March 15th, you have a chance to win $40,000. 10 in the morning till 9 at night, free snacks, half-price drinks. Daddy, all you have to do is get a hole-in-one, so you get there early and get in on those half-price drinks to smooth your swing down.
Yeah, they showed me the hole, about 148 yards is what it is. I think I could be able to knife a sand wedge in there about 12 feet off the ground, just a little screamer, bounce about 3 times, and take it home.
There you go. And, of course, check out the membership options and opportunities. And win either a GMC Acadia or $40,000. 50 non-pro and non-teaching pros will qualify for a shot at the grand prize. $10 entry fee allows you three qualifying shots. The top 50 get a chance at the hole-in-one grand prize. Complete rules on the $40,000 Prairie Hills Golf hole-in-one contest are available on our website, ESPNSuperstation.com. Just click on the Prairie Hills ad, and you'll get all the info at ESPNSuperstation.com. That's just part of the Prairie Hills Golf Course new member open house, Saturday, March 15th, 10 in the morning, 9 in the evening. Come meet the new owners and operators, Nick, Curtis, and Kurt. See the new clubhouse, feel the new attitude at Prairie Hills. And you know what? It is also half-price Monday today at the Golf Simulator. 18 holes, play virtually any PGA golf course as you get ready for the warmer weather on the 2007 Simulator of the Year. It's half-price Monday today. Prairie Hills Golf Course, just 10 miles north of Kearney. And while you're out there today,
why don't you wish our friend Nick a happy birthday?
A happy
birthday to Nick. To
you. Oh, yeah, Nick.
Happy birthday to you.
Nick. Oh, yeah. You're not a happy birthday to Nick.
You're under Curtin Curtis's little grasp, but you're still Nick.
Wow.
Well, we always got, you know what, until he hugged me so hard, he just wanted to cry. He just wanted to cry into my chest, Douglas, when I stopped out there. He's like, thank you for bringing me to the forefront.
Wow.
These guys.
Wow. Wow. And then you wouldn't let him go, so he was crying even more because he couldn't breathe. Hey, we've talked girls. The Boys State Basketball Tournament is coming up starting on Thursday, and we're glad that Stu Pospisil, prep editor from the Omaha World Herald, was able to give us some of his time this morning. Good morning, Stu.
Morning, guys. God, you got emotional.
Daddy's an emotional person. He's a very emotional person.
Must be that new wife.
Oh.
Well, there's some emotions there too. I want to start right off with an email here because this is a question a lot of people have from time to time, and then we'll let you give kind of a standard answer. And not everybody in Ord is bright because this email comes from Randy in Ord, America, who says, "Doug and Daddy, I listen to your show as much as I can. You keep up on the insights of the NSAA. Could you explain to me the point system one more time? In D2, how does St. Edward, the defending champs at 20-3, get the 8 seed? And then thus have to play the number one seed, while Potter Dix, with a 13-8 record, gets the 7 seed. And if we look at C1, Bennington has a rematch with Wisner Pilger, while Shadron gets the number one seed with 2 losses. The bottom line here, Stu, is the basketball in the western part of the state that tough?
Well, actually, they're having to play schools larger than them to complete a schedule. So there are bonus points awarded for playing up or a class or playing up 2 classes. So... excuse me, goodness. You know, it's all related to how you do against your opponents and the opponents' win-loss records. So we now are in 4 divisions of classifying opponents based on winning percentage. If you win 75% of your games up to being undefeated, you would be in the upper division, and that gets the most points, which for a win would be 50 points, for a loss, 39 points. And then the cutoffs go 75, 50, and 25 to create 4 divisions, and if you beat a team that, say, is winless, you would get 41 points for that win. If you lost to a team that, say, beat you for your own, or for its only win, that would be 30 points that you would get as the loser. So every game's worth something on the schedule, provided that it's played with a contiguous state. You know, you've got a shattering team that did play opponents for Saskatchewan and Portland, Oregon, and those games don't figure in the wild card standings, but Shadron does have 2 more wins than what is listed on the NSAA website.
Interesting stuff, Stuart. Is there anything in this wild card system that you personally would like to see tweaked?
You know, we were talking about this over the weekend, and you've got a situation in Class A where Ralston, which played only 4 Class A level teams, is the number one seed and could have been the one wild card had it lost, and that would have kept Creighton Prep, which has been number one in my rankings for about 2 months, out of the state tourney. I don't know if you can legislate every possible situation. I know next year, and I'm going to write about this for tomorrow, Elkhorn is going to go up to Class A, and Elkhorn's got its 5 Class A opponents on the schedule. Doesn't need to be eligible for, you know, wild card seating or wild card eligibility or whatever, because there's no such minimum in Class A or Class B. But Elkhorn could be in the same position next year as Ralston is this year, you know, playing a a mostly Class B schedule and being compared against Class A teams that play mostly Class A schedules. I just don't know if you can legislate every possible scenario that, you know, I think you just got to make it general and play it as it comes.
Stu Pospisil of the Omaha World Herald joined us. Well, all of this gives us kind of some interesting first-round matchups, Stu, and I think you start right there in C1, where in your rankings, number one will play number two, Pierce taking on Boys Town. Kearney gets the defending state champion, A. Pleasanton gets the defending state champion in D2, at least for some of the schools from our area, and that's not just it. But maybe that Pierce-Boys Town thing becomes the most interesting 9 a.m. game. C1 always seems to have one of those.
Well, 2 and 3 years, guys. 2 years ago was Wahoo Newman with Aaron Brandt, who's now on Creighton's bench, playing Boys Town. And I believe Newman might have even been the defending champion. I don't have all my stuff in front of me. But, you know, top two teams basically in the state. Boys Town won that game, went on to its first state title in Class C1. And here we are again. You know, Boys Town's perhaps played a tougher schedule than Pierce, but Pierce has gone through undefeated, and that's why Boys Town with 5 losses is sitting at number 2 in the C1 rankings. I may even leave Devaney to come over and watch that one. That's how important I think that game is.
Whoa. Let's not get crazy, Stu. Come on, let's not. Come on. Whoa. Easy. We're going to be there. We'd love to see you.
What, you're going to broadcast that game to the greater Nebraska region?
No. We're just getting ready for Minden St. Cecilia. Well, you know, there's
that's
so many
knockdown drag out right there.
There's so many Omaha stations that are going to be there anyway.
Yeah, right.
Stu, I guess, you know what, we're running out of time here. We're backed up against the end of the show. If you're going to pick out one prohibitive favorite, is it Fremont Bergen out of the 6 classes?
Has to be Fremont Bergen. You know, they were awfully good in C2 last year, dropped down to D1. You know, they're a top 10, top 15 team in the state. Had a little scare with Freeman in the district final last Tuesday night. That might be their only scare of the tourney. That might have been their wake-up call that, hey, we can't take anybody for granted. And, you know, Kennesaw, they're going to have to play the game of their lives.
And I don't know, I don't know if you're in on this yet, but we just talked with Jim LeMaster from Adams Central, stepped down today as their head boys basketball coach, Stu. Are we hearing some other names yet? Do you have any radar out there on some other coaches that are going to step aside?
That's the first one I've heard in the boys' ranks. We lost Scott Persigal from Omaha Westside over the weekend after the Warriors got beat in the first round of state, but that sounded like that was about 3 or 4 weeks in the making. I think you may see a state tourney coach retire after this week further west. But as far as anything, you know, I read the Sunday One ads, not because I need a job, but looking to see what schools are looking for coaches. There's not a lot on the plate right now, you know, for openings. So it's about this time of year when, you know, people start announcing their early retirement choices, and from here until May, the Sunday Marketplace job ads for me are required reading.
Well, Stu, I'm sure we'll catch up with you. We may be able to grab you for Friday's show as well, live there from Lincoln. We sure appreciate the time, as always.
No problem, guys. Have a fun week.
Thanks, Stu. Stu Pospisil, prep editor for the Omaha World Herald. We got one final break to take, and then some breaking news. It doesn't stop here on the Doug and Danny Show. We're right back after
this. You're listening
to
the Doug and Danny Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. I'll be back in a moment.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding you. I wish I were.
I'm Ryan Howard, and this is Practice Pop Ins.
Heard you guys are getting ready for the season, so I snagged some Adidas gear from Dick's Sporting Goods. You want some?
Yeah.
Who's the 12? Where's the lefty? School of my workout with you guys today?
You guys kind of surprised?
Yeah. Who wants to be a star?
Let's make it happen.
There you go.
Oh boy.
Everyone hits cleanup. One thing I learned in college, on a low pitch, that you want to try and swing down to get it to go up. You notice like a game of opposites.
I'm Ryan Howard. Check out the exclusive Adidas baseball gear only at Dick's Sporting Goods.
There's a lot to be excited about at Microtel Inns and Suites. From free local and long-distance calls and free high-speed wireless internet to a complimentary continental breakfast. And our new stylish decor and plush bedding make every night's sleep a comfortable one. Plus, the MicroPass card helps guests earn free stays at any Microtel. J.D. Power and Associates has ranked Microtel highest in guest satisfaction 6 years in a row. For a great hotel at an affordable price, visit MicrotelInn.com. For J.D. Power and Associates information, visit www.jdpower.com.
Breaking news, Doug and Daddy Show. breaking news. Billionaire Warren Buffett. Billionaire Warren Buffett predicts that Nebraska's football team will win at least 8 games this fall. There's your breaking news.
Very nice. Very nice. I got breaking news out of Pasco, Washington, Douglas.
Pasco, Washington?
We're not just local here, people. We cover it all. Sheriff's detectives in Franklin County, now that's not Franklin County, Nebraska, that's Franklin County, Washington, said a man had his friend shoot him in the shoulder so he wouldn't have to go to work.
What?
That's right.
Whoa, 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 whoa. What?
When he first spoke with deputies, Daniel Cooch told them he'd been a victim of a drive-by shooting while he was jogging on Thursday. But detectives later said Cooch later acknowledged that he asked a friend to shoot him so he could get some time off work and avoid a drug test. The friend has been arrested for investigation of reckless endangerment. Cooch was expected to be charged with false reporting. So, if he's thinking about getting out of work, figure out a better way. Have somebody shoot you in the shoulder, you bozo.
Yeah, they don't know if you're on drugs now, moron.
can't you just see it? It's only a 22.
Coming up on the program Wednesday, Pleasanton Head boys basketball coach Randy Bauer. Riley Jane Hamilton is going to talk boys basketball with us from the Lincoln Journal Star. And tomorrow, as we promised last week, live from Haymarket Park, UNK, Nebraska baseball. Looks like the weather's going to be good enough. If for some reason they don't play tomorrow, well, then we'll make adjustments on the show. But we've got more boys basketball coaches that we're going to be talking with throughout the week. Special UNK and Nebraska baseball player and coaches on the program tomorrow, including head loper Damon Day, as they get ready to play the Huskers. We'll have a little extended show tomorrow from 11 until about whenever we decide to get off the air. 1:35 first pitch between the Lopers and the Huskers tomorrow. We do want to thank Jim LeMaster, who's stepping down today as boys basketball coach at Adams Central, Stu Possible of the Omaha World Herald, Ron Powell of the Lincoln Journal Star.
See you tomorrow, Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!